Red Barn Radio, Kentucky's premier stage for hosting weekly live performances of Kentucky music featuring primarily Kentucky musicians, is coming up on its 18th season next week. Joining me in the studio is Red Barn Radio executive producer Ed Commons. Ed, welcome to the program.
Wendy, it's always a joy to be here and to see you.
It's a pleasure to see you too, Ed. Thank you so much for coming
in.
Season 18.
Yeah, hard to believe. It's amazing how the years slide by. I'm sure there's a lot of songs written about that. But here we are. We have 18 coming up and a great lineup for our first month. We are very lucky that Warren Cobb, who is our booking manager and associate producer, is continuing to find really wonderful Kentucky music and musicians out there. This Commonwealth seems to have a growing number of particularly young bands and solo artists that are just incredible. And I'm very honored that we have the platform and have been at this for a while with our own production to record them and put them out on the air. Thanks to WEKU.
WEKU has recently partnered with Red Barn Radio, making WEKU the flagship station. And now we are broadcasting Red Barn Radio on Saturday and Sunday evenings and even pulling a show from the Red Barn archives.
That is correct. In fact, we're really excited about that. For years, we've sort of said, so what do we do with all these, you know, files? And I'm really pleased that we're having the opportunity to have those to be heard again on a regular basis. That's 6 p.m. on Saturday evenings.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll just have to check. We're trying to get the word out as to what those shows are. And we're working on that so you guys won't be too surprised. But what's remarkable to me about them, not hearing them for a number of years, is the quality, but the musicianship and some just great artists you'll get to hear again.
We're starting with season 13, by the way.
I know that.
And now we're heading into season 18. What is this relationship between WEKU and Red Barn? What opportunities does it provide for the musicians that are on the stage, not just Red Barn alone, but for the musicians?
Well, because of your area of coverage, your ADI, both in central Kentucky, but primarily moving down into southeastern Kentucky, down to Virginia and Tennessee border, which is just a hotspot, that Bristol tri-state area for particularly old time and master musicians. It gives them not only on the content on our program, but it allows them to really be heard in an area that they are from so that they can tell their family and friends, here's what I'm doing. Look at what we're doing and what we're doing to make Kentucky music grow into a more national scene. The one thing that has come through the many years when we started primarily with bluegrass and old time, and we've expanded the type of music we do through the years to some very eclectic types of music, swamp grass and, you know, you name it, we've done it probably. The fun part about that is that in the earlier years, Kentucky really didn't have much of a name for itself as a region for music. Well, that's changing, ladies and gentlemen, as you know, and part of that is because of a Kentucky artist called Tyler Childers, who we early in his career had him on our show a number of times.
Mm-hmm.
He made his very first EP, two of them, out of his broadcast, and then that was repressed into vinyl. And it is still quite in demand. He was an incredibly interesting young artist. What's interesting, he's grown as a man, but there's still this incredible quality of his songs and his music that is true to this day. And he's hard to define. People are still trying to put him in a niche and don't know that's going to work very well.
We're talking with the executive producer of Red Barn Radio, Ed Commons. Ed, as we mentioned earlier, Red Barn's heading into season 18 next week. Can you tell us a little bit about what you have in store?
Well, on August 7th, which is our first season 18 show, we're beginning with the Blue Crawdads. And you won't believe what they're about. It's quite fun. They came together out of Union College. They really play blues, which is just way cool. Kentucky-based also. On the 14th, we have Joshua Brown and Hard Living, which is an alternative country band from Kentucky. We have Ben Boggs, a multi-instrumentalist and songwriter, coming up on the 21st. And on the last day of August for us, Wednesday, August 28th, Charlie Woods and Deep Hollow. And they have a CD, and it's going to be another great evening of recorded live in the studio and then recorded for what you guys will hear here on WEKU and all of those affiliate stations.
You say that you record it live in the studio. Can anyone come and watch the recording?
Absolutely, they can. We record every Wednesday. Oh, here's the new news. Beginning in August on the 7th, our first day of 18, we're moving our start time to 7 p.m. And hopefully that will allow young families to get to us sooner and get out earlier. So we'll see how that goes. But remember, new start time 7. We record at LexArts, which is at 161 North Mill in downtown Lexington. You come in on the side door on Church Street, and we have a performance hall there, which is set up. And that's where we record the show. One difference between us and many other broadcast-type situations, you're on the same level and gathered around the artist. You're only a few feet away. And we have always encouraged, before and after the show, that the audience meet the artists, interact with them, look at their wares. It's a really comfortable fit to watch people in this kind of environment, just enjoying music and the camaraderie together.
And if they can't attend the show, what other ways can they watch?
Well, we began streaming on Facebook, and over the last several months, that has become rather problematic due to some technical issues. So we have moved our Red Barn Radio live stream to our YouTube channel. Just go to Red Barn Radio on YouTube, check it out. We begin streaming. It will be at 7 o'clock, and you can check out, it's a single camera that you're watching on the stream, but it's production audio, so you get a pretty good idea of what the show is going to sound like. Then after that recording is made, we go home and take all of the tracks and remix them into a format that you hear in the syndicated version, which comes to WEKU on Saturdays and again on Sunday evenings at 8, the new show.
That's right.
Red Barn happens. There are three things that you can experience with us, maybe four. One, come to the show. Musicians love to have an audience there, and we would love to have you in-house. That is an experience, to be in the room with all of that going on. The second is the electronic media, seeing us on Facebook Live. And then the third opportunity is the syndicated version that goes out, finding us online, going to our YouTube channel for our videos. There's a lot of material out there. I think our YouTube channel is just under 39 million views, something
wow.
like that. It's just incredible to me to see the interest in the musicians that we're posting.
How far has it come, looking back from the beginning, when you first started Red Barn Radio? How far has it come, like, technology-wise, and getting more out there for everyone to see it?
Well, I had no idea that social media would be so important. At the height of our Facebook postings, we were getting an average of 2,000 to 4,000 people watching us live. We actually had a couple of artists come in, and we had 17,000. Who would ever have imagined that you'd be in a room in downtown Lexington and that many people would be sharing and experiencing the same thing that you're producing. It just blows my mind. That was not there when we first started. You know, it's come a long way, baby.
Oh, it sure has, for sure. I don't know if the younger generations understand going back to that point of like how small and almost underground things were at that time.
I'll share a quick story. The first broadcast that we did was broadcast on a station that no longer exists. a very beloved one in Georgetown, Kentucky, called WRVG.
Mm-hmm. I remember RVG.
Right. And that's where Tom Martin began, mm-hmm. I believe, and went on from there. And you all know him right here on this station. The first night we were on the air, I don't have a radio at home. You know, what do you do? So I got in my truck and drove New Circle Road for the hour. And I was very honored, surprised, pleased that I could hear what we had been doing offered out into the world. That was the first experience. Now I don't really get a chance to monitor what's on the air. We're so involved in the production each week of the show, as you can tell when you hear what we do. And then the other thing we have been doing the last 2 years is recording our program using multiple video cameras. We initially were putting those up as YouTube videos. We still do that. But we are developing a half-hour television program, which is two artists in the half hour. And I have an associate editor, Matt Flores, who is working on that project. And as of yesterday, we're working on number 12 of that series. I'm hoping to get, before we offer it out there, up to 24, so that we don't have to squeeze each week to get a new version out there. But it's incredible how good it's all looking. And I think that's going to do something that just the audio version doesn't do. You'll be able to see the artist. And I think that's a big part of the interest in music in this region. They're really unique looking bands. Mm-hmm. Is that a rude thing? I don't think so.
No.
They are unique looking. They do some great stuff.
Well, not just unique looking, but unique sounding and giving, right. Bringing something different than the usual mundane or the same old thing that's been regurgitated throughout some of the music, you know, industry. And it's something different. It's something unique. And it's like family because this is our state.
And
these are our people.
And they are family. We call them our Red Barn family, and many of them have come back and visited, not only performing, but just saying hi. We are followed with an incredible amount of people, and many of them are musicians who are involved in the music industry here in Kentucky and the region. We do include Tennessee and Ohio. Once in a while, they'll cross the river and come down. But many of those people who do that have a story about Kentucky, or mom and dad were here before they moved during that period where a lot of people left the state because they couldn't find work back in the 30s and 40s. And it's interesting that there are little groups in Dayton and Detroit and Columbus going up there of people who are very Kentucky oriented both in their musical tastes and follow what happens here in the state. It's really interesting to see how that is still nurtured.
Mm-hmm. When you started Red Barn Radio, what was your motivation for beginning the entire program?
I had a founding partner, Marilyn Myers, now retired. And Marilyn and I were working on the Music Museum and Hall of Fame in Renfro Valley as researchers and producers. And we started meeting a lot of folks from Eastern Kentucky who really didn't have a lot of venues or way to get their talent out. And it's like the old Judy Garland thing. Yeah, well, I've got the chairs and you've got the tents, so let's put on a show. So we went down to the valley and recorded a number of artists in what was the Coon Creek Girls Dining Room, also known as the Little Red Barn. I'm not sure that it still exists today, but that's where we started. And then we discovered that the 51 fabulous miles to travel back and, you know, get down there and then come home got to be too much to add to a schedule of trying to do recordings and so on. So we moved to Lexington into a commercial place in what was then called Victorian Square. It was owned by a restaurateur, and it was a wonderful ballroom on the second floor of that building. And we were very adventurous. Our first show had Wildfire, the very well-known bluegrass band, Eddie Pennington from Western Kentucky, flat picker extraordinary. We had a house band, Gary Strong and his bluegrass guys. Tom, who is still our announcer, Tom Brown, was on set. We had a correspondent who did bluegrass interviews, who was from Frankfurt in studio, and we virtually put the whole show together in one evening. We didn't record other parts of it. For instance, Tom Brown, the voice of Red Barn Radio, now records in Grant County and sends me files. It's just more convenient. But we soon learned that not only doing that much production in one space in that short a period of time, but booking it became a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
So we started stripping it away and getting it more simplified. The one thing we did keep was the audience interaction. On that first show, the audience sat around the artists, except for the house band, which was at the end of the room. And again, the idea was to break down the distance between that screen, between the performer and the audience, and get them more involved. And to this day, we still keep that going, being that the audience is on the same floor, it's not a raised stage, and you're actually encouraged to interact.
One of the things you brought up earlier was that you encourage families to come to the show. And with that level of intimacy of being that close to the performers, so the sound from the monitors, amplifiers, do you have that adjusted for if there were small children in the room? Would they be able to handle that? I'm asking as a parent, as someone who try to have children at shows, but sometimes they're just a little bit too loud.
Yeah, we watch our sound levels. When there is a rock-based band, it does tend to ramp up because of the size of the room.
Right.
But generally, I just like kids, I really cherish the fact that I can still hear. And it offends me when it gets to 108 dB in some movie theaters, I put earplugs in or leave. I mean, that's just too dangerous. We certainly watch that. We had some wonderful families that came in some years ago, and their little son, who was, I don't know, maybe 8, something like that, actually started bringing his little guitar in and would go up to the performers afterward. And they would talk to him. And I don't know what happened to the boy, but I'm hoping that that experience led him to music.
Yeah, absolutely. It encouraged him for sure, especially if he was bringing his guitar in. And I think that's so sweet.
It really was very wonderful.
Heart-touching.
That was a heart-touching move. You can't see it because there's no video.
Well, Ed, what is your background? You're not from Kentucky, are you?
No, ma'am, I sure am not.
What is your passion? What got you so passionate about bringing these artists to the stage to share them with everybody?
I think, like the show, my interest has grown because of the vitality and the brilliance of the musicians that I'm honored to work with every week. My history is varied. I was born at an early age in Niagara Falls, New York. And during my childhood, we traveled a lot because of my father's business. He was a research chemist for glass and ceramics. And I wound up going to school as an actor in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And I learned very quickly that my body and talent as a way to go on in the future was not what I really wanted. So I immediately became interested in lighting, sound, directing, that sort of thing. And in those years, started a recording service and a record label in Pittsburgh, which had a nice little run until the steel mills died. And we were relying on an awful lot of money from young people that suddenly went away because we were doing custom pressings of high school and college and all that sort of thing, vinyl in those days. So I came home to Kentucky. My parents were here. Dad worked here for a group that became part of the University of Kentucky but was independent in those days. And they immediately retired, and I stayed here, opened up a small record label because that's what I knew. We did what is now called Garage Bands. We had some success with that, a group called One of Ours, and particularly Pat and Barbara, which was a comedy duo from the 60s, did an album. Pat Horine is not with us anymore. Barbara King is still on the planet. I hear from her regularly. It was a very successful run, and in those days, folk music, very big during that era. I very quickly learned that I was really missing the visual content in what I was doing. Audio is great, but no pictures. So, or would we say pictures? So I started teaching myself film. I'd always been interested in that. My first movie was in eighth grade, an epic about ancient Rome. Oh, come on. We don't do anything simple. So I started doing television production and commercials, and developed a business called House of Commons Films, later House of Commons Communications. We had a studio here in Lexington, 6,000 square feet, and a staff of 8. In fact, we have one of my audio guys has gone on into his own business, and you know Neil Kesterson.
Yes.
And
Dynamics Productions
that Tom uses with his show. Well, Neil was one of our guys for maybe 10 years. Unbelievable. We had a crazy bunch of people. We did incredible work. Most people didn't know what we did because not much of it was seen in this market. I did do television for Keeneland for something like 14 years. But those were the days when the only interest they had was announcing dates. You really didn't have to sell anything. And the tagline then was racing as it was meant to be. So was nostalgic, got to work with the actor Peter Bull, who has done 100 films, worked with Kubrick, African Queen, and he came over and directed him doing commercials for Keeneland. Hi, I'm Peter Bull, and this is Bully Bear. He was a president of the World Association for Teddy Bears. Great guy. So we did a lot of regional work and some national work, Firestone for one. And then I had sojourns back into the Pittsburgh market where I worked for a lot of companies. Sperry Univac did a big project for them, computer and law enforcement. Worked for Alcoa, Westinghouse, open office and elevators, all that kind of stuff. So I had a lot of experience in corporate work at the time as well. And then the mid-90s started to play out. I didn't get involved in video as much as I perhaps should have, and things just changed, okay? And the studio is too much to keep up because people don't need those kind of facilities anymore. And then, of course, shortly after that, I did a project. I was with the Basketball Museum Project for 2.5 years as a producer and researcher here in Lexington. And that really changed what I was about. And also that led to Red Barn. The same design group that did that is how I got to Renfro Valley. They designed that museum down there. And they said, we've worked with these guys, use them. So that's how Marilyn and I wound up there. And then Red Barn happened.
That's amazing. That's an amazing story, an amazing journey.
Yeah.
Really
and
is.
And it isn't over yet.
No, because everything that you'd been doing sounded to me like a culmination of bringing all of the pieces together for you to be able to do Red Barn.
And that's one of the reasons I'm very interested in doing video again, because it's not only sharing the music, but you'll be able to see what these people are about. And visuals, as we all know, particularly in today's younger people, are incredibly important.
Absolutely.
I would hope that because of this new partnership and the graciousness of a station helping mentor us and giving us 3 hours a week of airtime, that you will take the time to not only support what they're about, but listen to the show and all the others, but particularly ours, and let them know what you like. Let us get some feedback. If you have a friend that is a musician, or you see a band here in the state that we might not know about, get in touch. Let us know what they're doing. We're interested in seeing who's coming up. You never know what's out there. And we don't travel the back roads like we should. There's no time. Mm-hmm. So we rely on you guys. Tell us about it.
How can they get a hold of you?
They could contact the station, or it's very easy. Just go to redbarnradio.com to the contact page, and our contacts are all there, and we respond.
Ed Commons is executive producer of Red Barn Radio. Ed, thank you so much for joining us.
What an honor to be here and to see you, Miss Wendy.
Oh, it's such an honor to have you here, Ed. Thank you.
You're welcome.